Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. Good to have you with us on our way to our conversation. Just to see if there's any more updates we can share with you. We have given you the places to go on your website to find out more information about what happened at the Boston Marathon. We may be having some folks from there on the top of the next hour talking to us about what's happening. We're going to have a much larger show on tomorrow with kind of greater depth. But you can go to safe and well.community.org. There's a lot of information on that website. It's a Red Cross website. And in Boston itself, there is a hotline at 617, area code 617-635-4500. That's area code 617-635-4500 that will have information on people who were in that race and people you may want to find out about if they're families or friends, to make sure people that you care about are safe. So we will keep the information flowing in the course of the next hour as we see what unfolds and bring that information to you as soon as we get it as well ourselves. So stay with us for all that. Right now, we're about to have a conversation with Sonia Nazario. Sonia Nazario is a former project reporter for the Los Angeles Times, author of the forthcoming book, Enrique's Journey, the story of a boy's dangerous odyssey to reunite with his mother. In the April 10th edition of the New York Times, she wrote this piece, Child Migrants Alone in Court, that really struck a chord with me and wanted to bring her on the air with us to talk about that piece for all of us to kind of wrestle with. She's also a winner of the 2003 Pulitzer Prize for feature writing. And Sonia, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
So this is, I'm looking forward to reading the book and having you back for a longer discussion. Well, let's start with this one. So this is something, I think, an area that people are not aware of at all. The plight, toil, and toll on children who are migrants, many of whom will come across the border themselves, and what happens to them. And this is an area that I think most Americans in this present debate around what to do about immigration reform are completely unaware of.
Yeah, and I think they're one of the most vulnerable groups in America today because while the number of adults coming here unlawfully is at a 40-year low or being apprehended coming into the U.S. unlawfully, the number of children coming to the United States undocumented and alone without either parent has spiked since late 2011. And it's expected to continue surging this year. And many of these children, when they're caught entering, crossing the border, they're apprehended by the Border Patrol, and then they're put in these detention facilities. There's, you know, more than 50, 60 of these facilities just for children coming into the U.S. alone throughout 12 states in this country. And they must go before an immigration judge to see if they're allowed to stay here or will be deported. And they're not entitled to a public defender. People in this country who are here legally who commit a crime, you know, whether you're a rapist, a murderer, you're entitled to a public defender, but you have this spectacle of 2-year-old children, 5-year-old children, 7-year-old children who go before these immigration judges, and in more than half the cases, they go there without any representation because they can't afford a private attorney. There's not enough pro bono attorneys to represent them. So you've got this 7-year-old child expected to make their case before this judge about whether they should be able to stay here or not, and often facing circumstances where they may be deported to danger in their home countries. And I just feel that that situation is unconscionable. It should not happen in this country. And my piece in the New York Times was really a call to people to step up, whether you're an attorney or you know an attorney, and for the government to, as part of comprehensive immigration reform, to provide public defenders for these children. I just feel that we should not treat children like that in this country, whether they're here lawfully or not.
Yeah, one of the things that kind of struck me here is that with the children coming across the border, and you describe some of them in your article, these are kids who have, and we can talk about a few of them, who have suffered tremendously in their home countries, or are trying to reunite, and or trying to reunite themselves with parents and older siblings left earlier, and come across these borders alone, many of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of children come for a variety of reasons. They come to work, they're fleeing abusive situations. Increasingly, all these drugs that are being funneled through Central America to feed our desire for drugs in this country, honestly, that's causing a lot of the cartels to battle for that territory in Central America and is causing violence to spike. And many of these cartels start recruiting these children when they're 9 years old and telling them, you join with us in selling drugs and moving drugs, or we kill you, or we rape your sister. So some of these kids are fleeing that kind of violence. And some of them are coming to reunify with a parent who left them behind. My book, Enrique's Journey, which actually came out in 2006, and a young adult version will be out this summer, and it's been a national bestseller and been used throughout the country as a common read at many colleges. I really looked at one boy who hadn't seen his mother in 11 years. She left him behind in Honduras. She couldn't feed him, so she comes north and leaves him behind. And after many years, 11 years of not seeing his mother, he sets off on his own to come and find her and makes this odyssey on top of gripping onto the tops of freight trains through Mexico, braving, you know, bandits and gangsters and all of these dangers to come find her. And so many of these children are doing that. They're coming to reunify with a parent.
And you describe in this article just what it's like for children to stand before this court alone. And many of them just, they don't have lawyers, or families can't afford lawyers. And that it was kind of stunning this is happening here in our country.
Well, I've documented this since the late 90s. Some things have improved. When I went to court in the late 90s, I would see these children brought to court, chained at the hands to one another, chained at the feet to one another. I saw a 7-year-old boy brought to court in this way. But when I went to Los Angeles court, where I live more recently, you know, I saw a girl 14 years old, Belkis Rivera, who was fleeing her country because of gang violence. She had been stalked and threatened by gangs in Honduras, and she had made this horrific 6-month journey across Mexico, been caught by the Border Patrol entering the United States illegally, and was just terrified. She was shaking in her chair there before the judge because she had no attorney to represent her. And, you know, these children don't speak the language. They don't know how to file the forms needed in their cases. They're up against these trained government attorneys. There are children as young as 2 years old who are going to court alone. Oftentimes, these children are considered unaccompanied because they've been abandoned by their smuggler at the border. But these children are coming to court and, in a sense, being expected to present their case. And, you know, 40% of these children, a recent study showed, do have some pathway to relief, to being able to stay in the United States legally, but only about 7% are getting relief, and that's because they don't have anyone to represent them. When they have someone representing them, they're 9 times more likely to get that relief. So I think all I'm saying is, you know, not every person should be allowed to stay in this country legally, but I think when you're asking a child to go before an immigration judge, they should, when the stakes are so high, they may be deported to danger, they should have a legal advocate by their side so that it's a fair case. If not, it seems like a mockery of our judicial system to put these kids up to doing this.
So, and let's continue that for a moment. Let's talk a bit about kids in need of defense kind.
Yes.
And who they are.
Sure. Well, I'm on the board of Kids in Need of Defense, and they are an organization that was begun in 2008 by Microsoft and Angelina Jolie, and they were founded to recruit pro bono attorneys to represent these children. And since 2008, they've recruited about 5,000 attorneys who have been willing to step up and say, I will take the case of one of these children for free, and I will represent that child. And many of these attorneys are at, you know, these gold-plated law firms, and they do kind of, you know, corporate law, transactional law. They have what are called high net worth clients. And for many of these lawyers, taking one of these cases is, you know, one of the most meaningful things they've done as an attorney. And I've spoken to many of these attorneys, and they say it's a wonderful experience. And, you know, I think a lot can be done to remedy this situation if more lawyers would be willing to step forward and say, I will take one case. I will help one child have a fair shot before our immigration courts. But many people believe that that's not enough, that there aren't enough pro bono attorneys to go around, especially as the number of these children continues to go up. It doubled from last year, and it's expected to go up another 70% this year, the number of children coming. And many people, myself included, believe that as part of comprehensive immigration reform, we need the government to step up and say, we are going to fund public defenders to represent children who cannot afford a private lawyer who can't get a pro bono lawyer.
I mean, one would think that at the very least, when we're talking about children, this would be kind of a common sense approach.
I would think so. That this is just kind of common sense that a child can't make their case. Some of these cases stretch on for years and involve, you know, multiple filings and being able to get documents to support your case that you would be harmed if you were returned to your home country. That's just impossible for a child
right.
to do. I mean, when I went to immigration court in Los Angeles the other day, the judge was saying, you know, a lot of these procedures are very difficult for attorneys who specialize in immigration law. It's very complex law, and it's impossible for a child.
And so this number you talked about earlier, about 70% rise, is that what you said? You talked about a 70% rise?
Yes.
What does that number come from, and why do we think that's the case?
Sure. Well, in the last decade or so, the Border Patrol has been apprehending between 6,000 and 8,000 children coming into the United States every year alone and illegally. So that's been kind of what's been happening year after year. Last year, that 7,000 figure doubled to 14,000, and the folks who deal with these children in the federal government believe that the number is going to go up another 70% this fiscal year, fiscal 2013, to about 23,000 children who are apprehended coming into the United States alone without either parent. And that doesn't include the Mexican children who are often caught at the border and within a very short period of time, 1 or 2 days, deported back to Mexico. That's another, you know, 15,000 children. So, I mean, I estimate that not all these kids are caught coming into the United States. So given the numbers that are being caught, both the ones, the 23,000 that are expected this year that will be placed in federal custody and in these detention facilities, and the 15,000 Mexican children, I estimate that if you count the kids who aren't caught, we're talking about more than 100,000 children who are coming to this country from Mexico, from Central America, alone, without a parent, and undocumented. So it's this army of children who are heading north, and as I mentioned, there are a variety of reasons for why they're coming, but I believe that if they go before an immigration court, they should not stand there alone. And my hope is that more attorneys will step up and help kids in need of defense, and that the government will look at potentially providing attorneys for these children.
We have been talking with Sonia Nazario. Sonia Nazario has wrote the book, Enrique's Journey, the story of a boy's dangerous odyssey to reunite with his mother. She won the 2003 Pulitzer Prize for feature writing and wrote an op-ed, April 10th in the New York Times, we are linking to, as well as her own website and other work called Child Migrants, Alone in Court. And Sonia Nazario, thank you so much for the work that you do and for joining us here on The Mark Steiner Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. We're going to take a brief break and come back and enter into the debate of whether or not they should close liquor stores in certain communities. We'll be right back.